The following is a Dog on the Hill production in association with Dimitri Media. Episode 4 of the Magpies and Phoenix podcast. And incidents arose from circumstance. Good afternoon. I hope it's afternoon when you listen to this. And on today's podcast, I'm going to be going through a number of issues. I was hoping only to do one podcast this week, but there's been so many games on and so much to report back that I'm going to split it into two. So on today's podcast, I went down to a scaffold Division 1 game yesterday between Greenways and Kent Football United, played at K Sports near Aylesford. I'll report back on that and the difficulties it is in reporting on a match on your blog when you don't have the team sheets. Secondly, I'll look back at the weekend's action with Phoenix Sports' disappointing result at Wellington, the game played at Chatham's very impressive stadium, and some thoughts and recollections of that game. After that, I'll do a review of the scaffold, who's unbeaten, who's 100%, who's surprising, who's not, maybe. And look forward to some of the games as well. Then there's a view from the South West Peninsula, where Holsworthy's 2-0 defeat at Teignmouth on a pitch that looked like the Gobi Desert on Saturday has meant that they now have lost two out of their first three games, and they've got another away game tonight against Elburton Villa. I'll look at Biddeford, who started their Southern League campaign with a loss to the West Ham Band. And Isthmian League, with the Isthmian League Premier starting and the South East starting last weekend, and losses for the two Crays, the Wanderers and the Paper Mills. I'll have a brief look at Andover, the two Andover teams, see how they got on at the weekend and anything that's coming up with them. And as I said, a roundup and a look forward to this week's games, including the two I intend to go to, which are Cray Valley Paper Mills versus East Grinstead Town tonight, and the game between Phoenix Sports and Glebe, the big one. Anyway, let's kick off with the game at Greenways. So, on the spur of the moment yesterday, whilst looking around Twitter during my lunch break, I saw a tweet come up that said that Greenways are playing a home game on a Monday night. So that was a kernel of an idea. Let's get down there. Looks at it. Looks reasonably good. 20 miles, about 30 minutes from home. So yeah, decided to go. Games between Greenways and Kent Football United. It's played at K Sports facility near Maidstone or Aylesford or Ditton or whatever the other place. It seems to be located in about three or four places. Really nice facility. Just £6 to get into the game. There's plenty of parking there. There's one for you groundhoppers. I'm not a groundhopper. I'm a game hopper. It's a few minutes to say off the M20. And yeah, really good facilities. 3G pitch though. Not a massive fan of those. But you know, what can we do these days? So why did I go? Well, you know why really. I'm intrigued by all the lower level league, non-league stuff. I really quite like 4s to 6. I'm not so massive a fan of the higher up levels. A bit of inverted snobbery maybe. And I do encounter a lot of really good stories and personalities, and I was really looking forward to seeing what Greenways could provide. And apologies for the background noise here. The problems of not having a studio. Anyway, there's a match report on the blog, which is called 7 7/8-2. I had to try to understand, explain that, sorry, to a fan yesterday, why it's there. It's my hat size. And it's the second blog of the same name. But I wanted to see what Step 6 is like at this level. I've seen a fair bit of Step 6 down in Devon, went sort of compare notes. It's a bit of a different league, to be brutally honest with you. There's not very many 3G pitches that I've seen down in Devon. In fact, I don't think I've been to a 3G game down in Devon. Whereas it's mainly 3G, it seems, at the moment that I'm seeing up here. There are a few games that are a bit different. What else is there to do on a Monday night? I could have been sat at home watching those two lot play on the Premier League fixture. Two teams I can't really stand, to be honest. So, no, let's get out and go down there. Anyway, Greenways won the game 1-0. It was through an early Simon Walton penalty when he was brought down by the keeper, having been put through. Simon might disagree, but his heavy touch to put it past the keeper probably meant the chance had gone, but the keeper, so much momentum, went straight into Simon, brought him down. Absolutely no doubt it was a penalty. He took it well, put it to the goalkeeper's right, slotted it into the bottom corner. And for the first 20 minutes, the common theme of the game was that the very square Kent Football United defence was getting picked apart quite a lot by the pace of Jake Lovell in particular. Balls being put through to him, but Jake had a bit of an off day in front of goal, but his movement and pace was really impressive, actually. He created so many chances from his space, and the passing through was also exemplary. There was one beautiful reverse pass by the number 21 to him on 16 minutes. That, you know, it was one of those things, if it was in the Premier League, you'd probably go, "Ooh!" It was a really top quality pass. Anyway, the finishing was causing the fans a bit of angst, it has to be said, and it's the typical, you're 1-0 up, you're in control, you're missing chances and you fear for the worst. And the game did ebb and flow after that 20 minutes, and while Greenway's always looked the more dangerous, they just couldn't convert those chances, and only a fine second half save from keeper Dan Stevens from a point blank header, which was pretty well hit to be honest, headed, but it gave Dan a chance to save it. He pushed it aside very well, and that preserved the points. I was really impressed, by the way, by Kent Football United's number 15. When he came on, I thought he was pacey, he was sharp, he was direct, put an extra threat into the game. But as you can tell, I'm saying numbers and things, therein lies the problem. I'd love to have had a team sheet last night, and so I managed to cobble together some of the players' names from fans, from the internet, from Facebook. It's a minor moan and it's a bit of a whinge, I know, but I really would have loved one. It would have helped me write my report. But yeah, this is Step 6 football. I can't expect miracles, and nor should anybody else. Just be grateful for the entertainment. And it was really an entertaining game. And in some ways, not having the players' names made it a bit more fun. So there's also to write the report. So there's swings and roundabouts, and I will try and fill in some of the blanks if there are chances to do so in the future. Anyway, I was impressed with Greenway. They're unbeaten in the league after three games. Walton and Lovell up front, very dangerous pairing. Simon Walton down the right wing especially, really good. Moment of the night, as I said, was that gorgeous pass by the Greenways 21. And the save by Dan Stevens, to be honest, I thought it was a pretty good save. But it was a really good game, enjoyed it. Kent Football never gave up after that difficult start. They made it a thoroughly entertaining and absorbing contest. I understand Greenways play their home games on Monday night, so if they do play another one before I move, I might try to go down there for it. The 3G played actually really well. I thought it was a little bit slower than most. It wasn't too difficult for the players and the teams to get used to it. And they do try to pass. There was a few long balls as well. It worked when it suited. But overall, the game was well worth the time and effort. And good luck to both teams in the rest of their scheduled Division 1 season. So we then go forward to Saturday. Or go backwards to Saturday. Can't go forward to Saturday. And looking back on the scheduled Premier last weekend. And the less said about Phoenix Sports' performance in the 0-0 draw at Welling Town on Saturday, or Chatham's ground, the better, to be honest with you. It wouldn't make much of a podcast, though, if I didn't say anything about it. Phoenix went into that game, and the impression I got from my fellow supporters, no names mentioned, was that this was a game that we expected to win and should win. And yet, I've always had this little bit of a fear with Phoenix this season that it's going to be really hard work, and I think that's the ethos I think the team management are going for as well. It's going to be very hard work to win this league. It looks a really competitive league. This game we went into without Andy Walker in goal. He was not available, but Steve's got contacts. It seems he picked up Pat Oman, who's quite an experienced keeper across the non-leagues, and he was a more than able one-match deputy. We also missed out with Tashi and Bertie. Tashi missing from the strikers, Bertie from midfield, Lee Bird coming in for Bertie, Freddie Akon for Tashi. But this meant that Ryan Hayes had to move over somewhat from his right wing position that he's been playing in this season. This looked like trouble for me because whatever pace we did have, and I'm sure Ryan wouldn't admit he's the quickest these days, meant that pace wasn't going to be the way we were going to break Wellington down. Not going to be our virtue on the day. Anyway, Welling, to utter credit, were really well organised. They were quite pacey at times. They were always nipping in and out, darting around. Well, they didn't carve out too many chances, no open chances. They had plenty of shots, but not too many chances on a blazing hot day down in Chatham. They pretty much matched Phoenix, who didn't have many of their own chances themselves. The best one fell to Luke Leppard in the middle of the second half. He, through his own industry and effort, managed to get himself into a one-on-one with a bit of pressure from the defender. But definitely face the sight of goal and hit his shot, but the keeper saved it very well. Probably should have scored, but that's Luke's form at the moment. He's just working so hard, but just not getting the breaks. Also, Lee Bird had a great volley cleared off the line, a fantastic clearance off the line, to be honest with you, near the end, as Phoenix put on a lot of pressure towards him with the corners and free kicks. But a 0-0 was utterly a fair result. Welling would not have deserved to have lost that game. And in many ways may well have deserved to win it. They certainly were better side for large parts of the game. I thought this game did prove one of my fears. I made one game, I'm not going to overreact to it. And when I'm asked by other supporters about how Phoenix are going to go this year, my initial reaction is I fear that we're not going to score enough goals and that every win is going to be really hard work. And when that happens, you just need to gut it out, grit, determination, all that boring old cliches they come up with. This is one game, mustn't overreact. But I think it does prove that we can't go into games taking anything for granted. We're not necessarily certain to win just on our name alone. And a lot of people seem to think that other teams raise their game when they play us. Importantly, though, for me, this was the first time my brother came to a game. And when I master techniques on the podcast, I'm going to get him to come on it and have a chat with games that he's gone to. He's got his own views on the game. My word, he's got his own views on certain players. He was very impressed with Wellington's number six on Saturday, I might add. But anyway, let's put that one to bed. Well done to Wellington. Really good performance. Very well organised. Very impressive display. And good luck for the rest of the season to them. And so we move on to Glebe on Wednesday, which I'll preview a little bit later on. Anyway, just a final footnote on Saturday. Chatham Town's facilities, by the way, were excellent. And I can recommend going there to anybody on the non-league circuit. You've got a fantastic bar. Nice and cool in that really hot weather. Decent seats and stands, standing areas behind the goal, seat down to the side. And you can even sit at a bar table to watch the game, which was tempting in the second half, but I've got notes to do and so on and so forth. We want to get a bit closer to the action. I hate the 3G pitch, and it's probably boiling hot on Saturday. The pitch was going to be even worse. There's not a lot we can do about it. It's the economics of the situation. And Chatham's facilities, though, really good, and I'd recommend it to anybody. So on to the Scaffold League Premier Division. And just a quick roundup of the results and where we stand after two games. Five teams remain unblemished with 100% records after match day two. Rustle are top after another impressive result at Erith Town, winning 3-1. Erith and Belvedere won 4-0 at K-Sports to start their 100% season, 100% record for the season. They've not yet conceded a goal so far in the league, so looking good defensively from the results. Deal Town, who I've said to most people I listen to, not having much evidence, but that I fancy to be the team to beat this year, added another impressive scalp with a 2-1 win at Fancy Punjab, who've been getting a lot of good whispers about them recently. Whitstable, who've come down with Phoenix from the Isthmian South East, also start with a 100% record, having a second clean sheet on the road with a 2-0 win at our FA Cup rivals next week, Tunbridge Wells. While newly promoted Stansfeld, Glebe's tenants or whatever they are, claimed a second win with a 2-0 victory at Kennington. So all those five teams have 6 points. Sorry, I put Stansfeld last. They are third in the table. Rustle are top and Erith and Belvedere are second. Glebe, tomorrow night's opponents, fell behind to Lordswood on Saturday, but came back to win 4-1. So there's no shortage of goals from Glebe at the moment after their 4-3 cup win. Ex-Millwall man Jamie Philpott scoring twice in rapid succession after half-time to add to two goals from James Dyer before and after him. Sutton Athletic drew 1-0 at Bearstead. Arley did not score. Connor Evans did, equalising midway through the second half. A shout out to Canterbury City, who lost 10-0 in a cup replay last week to Newhaven, but bounced back fantastically well with a 3-2 win over Holmesdale. Joe Nwoko with a last-minute goal there. So good luck to you, Canterbury. That was impressive to come back from such a horrendous defeat. Hollands and Blair drew 1-1 with Fisher in the other game. I think I've mentioned all 10 fixtures. Anyway, after the first two matches, Phoenix are currently lying in 7th, and there are 4 pointless teams now in the division. K-Sports, Tunbridge Wells, Lordswood, and surprisingly, probably to their manager as well, Erith Town. Okay. It's now time to go down to Devon for the South West Peninsula East season. On Saturday, Holsworthy went down 2-0 away at Teignmouth. Ryan sent me through the pictures. As I say, the pitch looked like a desert, like baked sand. I mean, it's no criticism at all. This is step six. This is grassroots football. All conditions in that league, in most leagues to be honest with you, should and do apply. And it's an evener for everybody. So, yep, no excuses on the pitch. Made it a very difficult game. Anyway, newly promoted Teignmouth scored in both halves. The second was a sucker punch, according to Ryan, at the end of the game in the last few minutes after some pressure from Holsworthy, but not enough to really convince for an equaliser. Ryan was quite happy with the performance in some parts, but didn't put too much in the way of comment on my Twitter DMs with him. He didn't really have a lot to say, and I don't really like to intrude on private grief. But as I say, he was quite positive about the second half. But the performance, again, didn't get the goals that they probably needed or deserved, or certainly needed. The one positive for me via this is I found the chairman's Holsworthy feed on Facebook now, which might at least allow me to keep up with the scores better. I did this week through the South West Peninsula Twitter feed. And he has some good pictures on there as well, so hopefully some more ease for me going forward. Anyway, tonight the Magpies face Elburton Villa, again on the road, 3 away games out of 4 to start the league season. And it's a matchup of two teams with the same records, one win and two losses, both from their first three games. Saturday, Elberton lost 2-0 at home to Honiton. But last week, for example, they won 4-0 away at one of the bottom clubs, Torrington, who are probably the most local team to where I stay when I go in Devon. Anyway, they've had an interesting mix of results, and I say this should be quite an interesting game tonight. So far in the South West Peninsula Premier East, Axminster are blazing a trail at the top. Ryan did predict they were going to do well this year. They've scored 12 goals in their three games. They have maximum points. Two other clubs have 9 points out of nine. Oakhampton, not surprisingly for me, and Ivybridge. While Brixham and Teignmouth both have 6 out of 6. I'm pretty sure Teignmouth didn't play last week, midweek, but I've got this nagging doubt that they might have lost. But I honestly can't see the results. Obviously, I'm imagining things, not for the first time. Anyway, tonight, Oakhampton go to Newton Abbott Spurs. And tomorrow, two of those 100%ers meet as Ivybridge take on Brixham. Brixham are in FA Cup action at the weekend, so again, this is an important game. Brixham going to start falling behind on games early on, which is not unaccustomed in the non-leagues. Teignmouth will take their unblemished record to Bovey Tracy, while Axminster have the week off until Saturday. And also down at the bottom, someone will get their first points tonight as Plymouth Marjon take on Torrington. Both have 0 points so far. Also in Devon at the weekend in the Southern League, Biddeford kicked off their campaign with a 2-1 home defeat to Hamworthy, or as I'm calling them, the West Ham Tribute Band. Joe Charles gave Biddeford an early first half lead, but that was soon pegged back by a Bailey Rowe equaliser for the visitors. And then Aidan Shepherd won the game in the last minute going through for Hamworthy, and that added insult to the injury of playing quite well, apparently, but not quite getting the results they needed. In the end, the Robins also had Ben Gehring sent off, so a pretty lousy ending to the game. Good to see nearly 200 there. Well, I just put 199 in the script. But they did complain it was incredibly hot. So a good crowd for the start of the season, but obviously not a good result. And Biddeford, being at the bottom end of the table last year, will need to get off to a slightly better start. Anyway, they go to Bristol Manor Farm tonight. And good luck to the Robins. Good luck to them. I hope they do well tonight. Just quickly had a look at the Western League. See how Barnstable got relegated from the Southern League South First. I can't remember the exact name of that league now. They started their Western League campaign with one win and two defeats, so it's not blazing a trail early doors in that one. Anyway, up to London and the South East and to the Isthmian League, which kicked off on Saturday with the first fixtures. In the Premier, Cray Wanderers lost 2-1 to Billericay Town, with one of the home team scorers being a Mr. Chris Dixon, who last year, and a couple of seasons before I think, was Cray Wanderers' main striker, former Charlton player. And reasonably decent for them as well. But he's gone off to play for Billericay this year and scored, I think, from the penalty spot. That must have hurt for Wanderers fans to see that. Anyway, in that division, Averley have played two games already. They played last night and they've started their campaign with two wins, so they sit on top. And their wins at the weekend for Corinthian Casuals, Horsham, Bishop Stortford, Carshalton Athletic, Bognor Regis Town and Potters Bar Town, who beat David St. Tom Herne Bay. I knew he said Orne Bay there. Herne Bay, we're going French. With a late goal in a 1-0 win. I've got quite a loyal follower on Twitter from Herne Bay, so you might get a few shout-outs for them during this. Anyway, Cray Wanderers meet Bognor Regis Town tomorrow night, a game I saw last season, incidentally, which Bognor Regis won 1-0. And so good luck to Cray Wanderers in that fixture. There are two fixtures for day one winners tonight. Horsham play Corinthian Casuals, so both those teams obviously won at the weekend. Corinthian Casuals by the most. And two other winning sides, Potters Bar and Bishop Stortford, meet in a semi-local derby up in North London. But for me, pretty much everything North London counts as a local derby. Anyway, in the Isthmian South East, Cray Valley Paper Mills got off to a pretty poor start to the season when they went down 3-0 at Ramsgate. Bearing in mind, I saw them beat Ramsgate 4-1 in March, so a completely different Paper Mills team. It might have been April. I'm never sure if it was March or April, but it was near the end of the season. Anyway, David Carter's match point had a great headline, I think, summed it up. That didn't go very well. That's an understatement. Fairly apt, I think. They'll need to dust themselves down for tonight's game against East Grinstead Town, who beat Chatham 1-0 on Saturday. A result that was great, with a little bit of surprise by the Phoenix Porters when we see following the scores on Saturday. Anyway, a good result for East Grinstead. Of course, I saw East Grinstead twice last year beat Phoenix, including that crucial late season game, which I think was one of my better pieces on the blog 7782. Please do try and read it. But that was the game that I really knew that I'd been captured by Phoenix, because I felt so bleeding miserable after it. Anyway, the result that really caught my eye at the weekend in the southeast was Hythe winning at Corinthian. Hythe were a really poor side at the end of last year. When we drew 0-0 with them, it's the game I think that arguably cost Phoenix their chances of survival, in hindsight. And they really struggled to end the last season. And Corinthian, when we saw them, looked quite good. So it was a bit of a surprise. You know, things do change quite rapidly in the non-leagues. Elsewhere, other than Chatham, promoted teams did quite well. Littlehampton and Beckenham Town both won their games 3-2 away. While Sheppey took the lead against Chichester only to be pegged back to 1-1. So there's three decent results there for the new teams. It's hard to pick a favourite in this division, but there have been good noises about Sittingbourne in pre-season. They didn't play very well towards the end of last. They might have been dampened a touch by a 2-1 loss at Whitehawk. In the other games, Ashford won 1-0 at Burgess Hill, and VCD and Sevenoaks both picked up victories. Sevenoaks might be a little dark horse in that division. They finished the season very, very well last year. Anyway, going down now to my future home, very briefly in the Wessex League and the two Andover teams, and if the move is still going okay, nothing going wrong so far, and I'll put the emphasis on so far. Andover New Street shared 6 goals with Frawley FC, AFC, in what sounded like a really good game down there, 3-3 draw, while Andover Town won 1-0 at Petersfield Town, and Andover Town are now at home to Whitchurch tonight. And if that's the Hampshire Whitchurch, I'm not sure what other Whitchurch it could be. It's quite a local derby. New Street have the midweek off in advance of their FA Cup tie at the weekend. Town are one of 4 teams in maximum points from 2 games, and New Street sit 5th with 4 points in the early table. I am conscious that this is really becoming a list and string of scores and leagues and fixtures, and I thought I might be spreading myself a little bit too thin, but I'm going to find my way in the podcast. I'm not looking to get everything right and at first go, and to try and set the scene. So we'll probably look to pare this down a bit and concentrate more on the matches I go to in future casts. But the most important thing early on is to set that scene, to set the teams that I'm sort of following and the leagues that I'm following, and then maybe look for some more depth. You're not going to get analysis. I hate football analysis with an absolute passion. I think it's a load of shysters actually having a go at it. I don't start me on nonsense like, you know, dribbling yards. I heard that one on the important touches or something in the penalty box. A load of nonsense. And my favourite, expected goals. Absolute garbage. If you don't shoot, you don't score. And your expected goals and the amount of goals you score, I don't give a stuff or anything else you predict on that. So look, you're not going to get analytics here, but you are going to get the more emotional side and the more feelings side of football, which is what I specialise on, I think, in my writing. Because the one thing with non-league has been the absolute emotional connection that I've got with it in such a short period of time. Anyway, looking forward to tonight, off to Crate Valley Paper Mills versus East Grinstead, as I said earlier. We've had a drop of rain in London today, at last, so I hope the pitch isn't waterlogged. I'm looking forward to seeing Richard, the press officer, social media, stroke announcer, stroke general dog's buddy, and the gang down there tonight. Really good crowd, really enjoy my time whenever I go down to Crate Valley Paper Mills. Sadly, it might be the last time for quite a while, as Paper Mills don't really have any midweek games, home games, that I can go to. Might have to hope that a Saturday fixture can come up where I'm free. And then, of course, I may be moving towards the end of next month or the beginning of the month after. I hope to get a report up on that on the blog tonight or tomorrow, but I've also got to write it, and they do take some time. Anyway, the main draw for this week is tomorrow night's game at the Mayplay Stadium, where Phoenix Sports play their first competitive home game of the season against Glebe. I'll put my cards on the table here. I'm not a huge fan of Glebe, mainly because their training pitch is where I made my highest ever cricket score, and they've now got just a boring, plain old training pitch on it. Excuse me if that child in the garden is screaming behind. He's one of the reasons we're moving. Anyway, I'm throwing off my thread there. And the other reason is purely attention-seeking. They didn't really pay much attention to my pieces I wrote about them. And then I'm now thinking, did I write about them? Anyway, I went to see them play Erith and Belvedere last winter, about mid-February, I think, at Foxbury last season. And the facilities there are good. But I just don't know, it felt quite soulless to me. Maybe it's because they built on where I scored my 83. Still bitter. Anyway, all intangibles I know, and my feelings for the club. No real logic. They may just be really decent people, but you know, I'm a Phoenix fan for this one. Tomorrow night's a big one, arguably two of the favourites to go up. Glebe lost ground on the opening day with that loss to Deal, but have scored 8 goals in those 2 games since, 4 against Holmesdale, 4 at the weekend. This looks like an important early season game. It really feels like an important early season game. So really looking forward to this. It's a game, even this early on, that feels like it might set the tone for the clubs in the early part of this season. Kick off 7:45 tomorrow night. I'll be there. Not everyone in the Scheffel Premier has a fixture this midweek. The 100% teams that do play are all at home. Deal play Canterbury, Stansfield play Welling Town tonight, and Rustall are at home to Punjab United tomorrow. Two of the teams with no points meet tonight when Lordswood take on K Sports, while Tunbridge Wells will look to get off the mark when they visit Holmesdale tomorrow night. In the First Division, two of the favourites, Larkfield and Newhythe, that's all one team, and we were looking to move to a house near there, so what could have been? But anyway, they visit Snodland Town. Larkfield Newhythe got beat in the playoffs last year, I think, and Snodland Town have been fancied by fans that I'm talking to in those divisions, and also on that Kent podcast. Anyway, lastly of the regular features, I forgot to advertise the memory slot. I wonder if Kylie will license me the music look back in time for this part. But anyway, look, today I go back over 20 years to the home opener for Millwall. The previous season had ended with the boot head backside of Stern John scoring a last minute winner in a playoff semi-final. I don't remember the goal particularly. I thought to try and erase it from my memory. Anyway, after the goal had gone in, I watched the fact Millwall didn't invade the pitch. I left the ground by my usual route down Surrey Canal Road, and everything seemed really quite calm. Not the massive anger, obviously massive disappointment, but not huge anger. I remember saying to my brother, "God, this makes a change. The fans seem to have taken this kick in the nuts quite well." Of course, on the other side of the ground, World War III was breaking out. Not so calm. After all the measures that were put in place, the bad news stories, the threats to close the club down, we ended up having a few away bands, away fan bands, and so on and so forth. There was another major issue turned up over that summer, and that was, if you remember this, the ITV Digital deal. ITV Digital had an exclusive, very large money deal for the 2001-2002 season. File this under, if it's too good to be true, it probably is. But of course, over the summer, that deal collapsed and ITV Digital fell away and Sky took over the TV contract for a song. Of course, the clubs had spent all the money they hadn't received, and I'm pretty sure Millwall were not the exception to that rule. And to put it mildly, you might say that industrial relations between the players and board level at Millwall did not seem to be overly harmonious in the run-up to the start of that season. Anyway, on this opening day, which is the 10th of August 2002, we faced what looked like a comfortable home opener for a team fielding pretty much its playoff team last year. Stephen Reid was out. I looked at the team list, but pretty much the rest. Like Ifill, Cahill, Neil Harris, Steve Claridge, Tony Warner, Stuart Nethercott, all the mainstays from that previous season or finished the season the year before. Anyway, we're playing Rotherham. Now, no offence to Rotherham, but they aren't the most glamorous of fixtures and they weren't exactly looking to be challengers, maybe like we were. Anyway, if there was no way of ever proving this, but the way the day panned out, you might have thought the players took a strike day. That did not please the Millwall faithful. So sat down, nice warm day, looking to watch the game. 25 minutes, Darren Byfield, 1-0 Rotherham. 31 minutes, McIntosh, 2-0 Rotherham. 51 minutes, Darren Byfield, 3-0 Rotherham. 71 minutes, Sedgwick, 4-0 Rotherham. 79 minutes, Byfield, 5-0 Rotherham. 81 minutes, Byfield, again, 4 goals, 6-0. Came to sign for us a few years later. Lasted one season. Anyway, 6-0. I seem to recall a terrible Tony Warner howler in there too. A 6-0 home defeat. Last episode, of course, I was talking about a 6-1. At least it was 6.5 goals. That's about the only thing you could say about this. To start the season 6-0 is not the greatest thing in the world, it has to be said. I think D-Ree wrote a song about it. And it weren't your the best thing either. Anyway, Rotherham fans can think themselves lucky. A number of teams that season weren't allowed even to watch their fans in the ground, but at least the few faithful Rotherham that came down got to see their side with a massive away win. Home openers don't get much more miserable than this. In the end of the season, we finished 9th. It took us a few games to get off the mark, but we finished 9th. We had quite a good run at the end of the year. We lost Cahill, I remember, with a knee injury very early on, but we were quite a resilient outfit. But that day will live long in my memory. The infamy of it all. 6-0 at home to Rotherham. Anyway, I've done enough damage as I can do for this podcast. Hopefully, all being well, I'll get one scripted up for Thursday evening, as I think I'm out all day on Friday to watch Surrey in an inconsequential Royal London 50-over game. Just to stick my finger up to the 100, really. I'm not that interested in the cricket Surrey are playing an 18. And then Saturday's the FA Cup preliminary round, when I'll be going, obviously, to Phoenix's game at Tunbridge Wells. Thanks to everyone that listened last time. It got the most listens of any of the podcasts I've done so far. I promise that I'll not in the future just have casts that are me whittering away for half an hour or so. I'll try and get some more people on it. I know Ryan extremely keen to come on it, I'm sure. And Andrew at Phoenix was interested to also see the opportunities for that club. So let's see how that goes. I need to learn how to do interviews on this. Let me learn at my own pace, though, on the podcast. It's I'm putting these together in two or three various excerpts and doing my first go at editing, but not too much. As always, thanks to the fans and people, all the clubs I've come across, well, nearly all the clubs I've come across, and the joy they bring, which enthuses me to make this podcast and write the blog. Please follow me on Twitter at Demetrius Old, or via my Pride and Joy the blog, 7 7/8 2. If you don't know, 7 7/8 is my hat size. And one last plug for a post on the blog I founded, Being Outside Cricket, for a fantastic post by Danny, which has gained a huge amount of traction amongst the cricket population. Please go and see that. It's called Being Outside Cricket. Anyway, remember, if you love non-league, it loves you back. Thanks for listening. Good luck to the Magpies tonight and the Phoenix tomorrow. And from me, Peter, have a good one. Thanks for listening.